Welcome to the Rocky Messages Podcast. Rocky is a gathering of people that want to know Jesus and love like him. If you hear something today that you'd like to know more about, you should check out our other podcast, Rocky Unscripted, where we take a topic and through conversation and study, we go a little bit deeper. And right now, let's join today's message.
Amen. Amen. Church, good to see you today. Niwa Campus, good to have everybody here. I know it's a holiday weekend, and so some people are out, people are up skiing and doing whatever, and it's good to see all of you here at the Niwa campus, Frederick campus. Great to have you joining us live. And I know we have a lot of people online watching this morning or wherever, and it's good to have you. I just want to say this as we begin. Today is going to be a little bit different. We're going to actually take a pause. We're going to push pause on our study on the book of John. And I just want to take some moments and I want to share with you some things that have been going on in my life and some things that God's been teaching me and sharing with me and that I just want to share with you. And so, and as I say this, I do want to say that what I'm going to share is a big thing, but it's a good thing. And so I've shared some things before, and sometimes people have been like, oh, hey, is everything all right with your wife's health or with family things? Everything is good. But I do want to share something with both campuses, everybody online, that God's just been teaching me and doing in my life. And so I shared a little bit in the last few months about a book that I started reading a few months ago, and it's called Living Fearless by Jamie Winship. It's a great book, and some of you have bought it, and a few of you have read it, and I've had some comments about that, but I bought this book and because somebody had recommended it to me, and it's really a book about identity and our identity in Christ, but not just our identity in Christ, because you think about that idea, you know, God is our creator, he creates us, and when we accept him, place our faith in him, we become his children. And if we become part of God's family, there's an identity that comes along with that. And it's kind of like at our house, if you're part of the Moyers family, there's not just the identity that you have in your name, but there are also some values that we have. And we've talked about that clearly too. And I've shared some values that we have. And one of those is that we do hard things. We talk to our kids all the time about that. And so we do hard things. And when you're part of the Moyers family and there's some values that go along with that, it determines how you live a bit. It's the same in God's family. We join God's family and we become part of his family. We're his children. Then there's some values that go along with that. And it shapes who we are and how we live. And that's part of our identity. But it goes further than that. Like, God talks about our identity not just in who we are, but also in what he's gifted us to do. And so I began reading this book, and it goes through, and it takes that idea of what God has gifted us to do and says, hey, each and every one of us have been given gifts and talents to help accomplish God's mission. And you think about it, what is God's mission? We talk about it here all the time, that we're about helping people know Jesus and love like him. But it goes further than that. It's God's mission is to share his grace and forgiveness and the good news of Jesus with every person on the planet. And when it comes down to it, it's not just God's vision and God's mission. He involves us in that. And he says, hey, I've given you a role to play. And in that role, you're uniquely gifted to be able to help carry out that mission. And so I don't know if you realize that, but you're sitting in the seats here, you're sitting there at Frederick today or watching online. God's uniquely gifted you with talents and abilities to be able to help accomplish part of that vision and mission. And so this book that I was going through, it actually has you journal. So I took an entire week and took an hour a day and began to journal about what is it that God has uniquely gifted me to do. Obviously, I'm a senior pastor of a church. I've been here at Rocky Mountain Christian Church for 11 years. But there are some unique things about the way I lead, because not every senior pastor is the same. Alan Algrim sitting right over here. He's the founding pastor of Rocky Mountain Christian Church, 29 years. Man, we have the same heart for the gospel, but the way we lead and carry things out are very different. And as I was journaling through, it just became very clear to me that what I do, what I uniquely do, is God's gifted me to be able to lead change. In every ministry, guys, every ministry that I've ever been a part of, I've walked in and God, it's like God's assignment, same thing here at Rocky, was to lead change. And you think about Rocky Mountain Christian Church, as I mentioned, Alan Algrim was here for 29 years. Phenomenal job, loving this place and caring for this place. But I walked in after 29 years, when a guy retires, there is change. You have to manage through change. It's from one leader to another leader. It's new people coming into the church. It's reestablishing and saying, hey, here's what our mission has always been. Here's what it's going to continue to be. And you lead through change. Like if you've been around this place very long, you've seen some changes. Like if you've been to the Niwot campus, we're sitting in a room. If you remember back 11 years to the day and look at this place, this auditorium looks totally different. Like even physically we've changed. Relationally, new people have come. What I do is I lead through change. And it's happened in different ways in different ministries. So in different places I've been, sometimes it's that I lead through change and take something that's broken and work through and fix. Sometimes it's been taking teams and rebuilding teams. Sometimes it's been just being a non-anxious presence through just different changes that happen, but that's what I do. And the last 11 years, that's what we've done here. And so it was very interesting as I'm reading through this, I'm beginning to understand more of what I do and what I've done in each place that I've been. 11 years ago, man, it was incredibly clear that God was saying, hey, I've got an assignment for you. And it is to come to Rocky Mountain Christian Church and to help lead through and to love a place. And guys, it has been one of the greatest privileges of my life, for sure. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it says, we can plan our ways, but God determines our steps. And let me just say this, like if I was planning my ways, like just looking at my life and planning my ways, my plan has been, I've said it so many times, my plan has been to retire at this place because I love all of you so much and you guys have loved us, my family, and we've never been loved by a place like this place. And we've never loved a place like this place. But as I began to pray through and even look at that verse and look at this book and what I was learning, we can plan our ways. But what it says at the end of that verse is that God determines our steps. And one of the things that God's made really clear, my wife and I have been praying through, it was about the same time that I'm reading through this book and working through it, that I got a call. And understand, pastors, lead pastors of churches, you get calls. Okay, we do. Throughout the years, I've got calls just like any other pastor will to say, hey, would you come lead at our church? And up until this point, all of those have just been calls. And I've always said, hey, I love this place. I love my team. I love what we do. I love our mission, our vision. I love this place. And so, no, here's somebody else you should call. But about the same time I was reading this book and working through, I got a call from a mentor of mine, and I have two or three really important mentors in my life. My dad is one of them, and Alan Augram, I've mentioned him a couple times. He's sitting right over here, 29 years, founding pastor of this church, and one of my best friends. And then there's a guy named Cal Jernigan. And I've talked about my pastor's group quite a bit and guys that I've been with for 10 years. And Cal is the leader of that group. I've known Cal since 2008. He's the lead pastor of a church called Central Christian Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And Cal and I were having a conversation. I was asking him some advice about some other church things. And he just said, hey, I've not talked to you about this, but I'm 67 years old, and I'm staring down the end of my road here at Central, and I want to ask you if you would consider coming and working with me for a year, and then I will retire, and then you would become the lead pastor of Central. And I said very clearly to Cal, just what I said to you, Cal, you know I love this place. You know I love my team. You know all the things that I've just said. And he said, hey, I just want you to pray about it. And it was interesting that right in the middle of when I am reading this book and working through, that Cal calls and he says, hey, I want you to pray about this. And he says very clear to me, he says, I've been on staff here for 30 some years. I don't know exact years of what that is, but he was a youth pastor before. Then he became the lead pastor, and he's been the lead pastor for about 25 or 27 years. And he said, hey, there is a lot of change that's going to happen when I retire. There's a lot of change that needs to happen. Central's a great church, but there is a lot of change that is going to have to be led through. And I've seen what you've done at Rocky, and I wonder if you would just pray about and think about coming and doing that here. And so I agreed, and my wife and I, we had some conversations, and we prayed, and we did go down there, and we did look, and it just became very clear that sometimes we plan our ways, but God determines our steps. And I go back to that thought of every single one of us, we have an assignment. But here's the interesting thing is that there are some assignments that don't last forever. And we felt like God was just communicating to us and saying, you know what, Rocky is in an incredibly healthy place. Like, we've worked through a ton of change. We've rebuilt a team. I mean, guys, the team that is here, the elder team that is here, the staff team that is here, the young people on our staff that are ready to step up into even more and greater positions and opportunities. Guys, I'm telling you, this place is an incredible place. And that is because God has done the leadership and the work and the changing through all of us as leaders. And I felt like God was saying, hey, you know what? The next 10 years of Rocky are going to be incredible. But the next 10 years is a different kind of leadership. And maybe the next 10 years need to be looked at by somebody else that's going to lead forward in division, while maybe I take you and take you to a different place that needs to work through this similar kind of change. And so you can see where this is going. I guess what I'm saying to you all this morning is that I love you to death, but I feel like God is calling our family to move to Phoenix, Arizona. And I'll go on staff for a year at Central Christian Church. And then a year from that point, I will become the lead pastor there at that church in 2025. And so we'll be moving in 2024. And that creates some questions, right? And I know that creates a little bit of uncertainty, but I want to say this. I want each of you to hear this. Like I said, 11 years ago, actually 12 years ago, I remember driving by. I was driving down Colorado Avenue Boulevard in Frederick, is where I lived at the time. And I was driving through, and I wanted to become a lead pastor somewhere. And I'd been kind of looking and talking, and I talked to my lead pastor at Life Rich Christian Church that planted this church. And he said, hey, let's take a year and let's figure that out and where you go. And I was driving past the Frederick campus, and I just looked over and I just looked at God, and I was a little frustrated because it wasn't happening as fast as I wanted to. And I looked at God and I was like, well, that'd be a great place. That'd be a great place to be a lead pastor of. Like, come on, let's get this going. And guys, it was a year to almost the exact date when I got a call from Alan Auger to say, hey, I'm retiring. And hey, would you come lead here? And would you come work here for 6 months with me? And then I'll retire and you become the lead pastor. And guys, I'm telling you, the last 11 years have been incredible. And one of the things that I have said, and I want to say thank you to both campuses, to everybody. One of the things that I said, you probably heard me say this before, but in my arrogance as a young pastor coming in, never being a lead pastor before, not knowing what I didn't know and walking in and so hungry to lead, I had in my mind, I thought, man, I'm going to come in and save this church. This church didn't need saving. And you've probably heard me say before that I found out really quickly that God was going to use this church to save me and to save my family and to save my marriage and save my leadership. And so I want to say thank you just for the growth that has been able to happen spiritually, emotionally, relationally at this place with all of you. And I think we have grown together. And I'm telling you this, I believe with all my heart that Rocky is one of the greatest churches in the country, and I believe that it is going to continue to be one of the greatest churches in the country because of the team that we have here, and that a team includes all of you. Like, this place is an incredible place. Now, that's a lot to hear. Like, I don't think you got up this morning, got dressed and ready to come to church and thought, this is what I'm going to hear this morning. All right. If you're a guest, my apologies. This is not what Rocky's usually like every Sunday. All right. But I do think that as we talk through this and continue to talk through, that maybe you as a guest will see, hey, this is a healthy place. This is a healthy place. And maybe we need to keep checking this out. I think there are some questions. So I know right now your minds are swirling a little bit. And you probably have some questions about, okay, what's next? And Sean, you said you're moving. You and your family are moving to Phoenix. When's that happen? That's a good question. Obviously, we have to sell a house and work through that, but we will be doing that probably sometime in April. And so my last Sunday here at Rocky is not set exactly. I've agreed with the elders to work through the transition and help them as they start working to find the next person. And so my last Sunday will be no later than April 14th. And so that's kind of a date. We don't know if that'll be a little bit earlier or whatever, but I've just agreed to be here and to help out through. And we got a great team. that's leading through that. So that's a question that you may have on our family. That's what's going on there. I think the big question that everybody probably has is, like, what's next? Like, what is the process and what happens? And, well, the elders are in charge of that process. And I want you to understand, guys, our elders are one of the healthiest and most incredible group that you've ever seen. Now, some of you look around and you're like, I don't know who our elders are. Well, the reason for that is I do most of the communication. Matt does most of the communication. Amanda does, Nick, you know, Dane, Luke, people on the stage. We do most of the communication on the weekends. But what you have to understand is the elders of our church, what their role is, to keep us on track with our mission, with our vision, with our values, and with our beliefs. And they have one employee at this church. So they have one person that reports to them, and that's me. That's the lead pastor role. So that is their job. And guys, they have a big job to take the situation, what's going on right now, and then to step us through the process to find that next person. So I want to ask you to be praying for them, but I want you to know that they are doing a phenomenal job. Like, I see this happen across the nation. And I see lead pastors leave, and there are times where I see elder groups that just kind of go in a dark room, and they're like, we got this. We know what we're doing. We've done this corporately before. We've done that. And that's not our guys. Man, they have been incredible. The first words out of their mouth were kind words to me, but then they were, hey, we've not done this before. Some of them are on the group that were there when Alan Algram transitioned and I came in. They said, hey, that's different. Alan's still here, sitting right over there, right? You're going to be moving. We've not done this before. We need to get advice. We need your help. Lead us through and walk us through this. And I'm telling you, they have been incredible with the process they're doing. They've known about this for a little while. They've been praying through with us as a family and then being prayerful about what that next process is. And I think the big question you have probably is that going to be Matt? Like, Matt preaches every other week. And is that person, as they go through that process, is Matt being considered? What's going on there? And they'll talk a little bit more. They're going to come up in just a minute. And later in the service, an elder at each campus. But I can tell you this. Yes, they're talking to Matt. And I'm excited about that. I am. Matt's been around this place for 10 years. He's an incredible leader. He's a trusted leader here. He carries the stage half the time. And so, yes, they called Matt and they said, are you interested in this? Would you like to do this? And would you like to be a candidate that we work through? Now, understand, there's a process that needs to happen there. Because what they have to figure out is like, and Matt has to figure out, is this God's call on my life? Is this God's call on the church? And is that working together? But they've already had some conversations. They're in that process, and they'll talk about that just a little bit in a moment. There's lots of questions, right? Lots of things. What I want you to know and to understand that there's no reason for this other than I believe God's changing the assignment for me. Like, there's no, you know, problems with the eldership, no problems with the staff, nothing that, guys, I'm telling you, this church has treated me in so incredibly well. And what I look at and just believe is that God's saying is the next 10 years of leadership, I think I got an assignment for somebody else. And the next 10 to 15 years of your leadership, Sean, I think it's doing the same thing in another church that you've done here, because that's what I've gifted you for, which is super hard to say, which is really hard to say, because we love this place so much. Now, I think for you, like for all of us as a church sitting at the Frederick campus, and Frederick campus, I just say this to you, man, we have two campuses, and I wish I could be sharing this live at both campuses, but we can't do that. And so I just want you to know I'll be there next week and just looking forward to giving people hugs and all of that. But one of the things that I want us to do as a church is I want us to think about how we respond to these kinds of changes. Because you go back into Scripture and you look at Scripture, and there are so many different instances where God changes somebody's assignment. Like, you have an assignment too. Like, you have a gifting that God wants you to use. And you've seen moments in your life where God's changed that. And maybe you've moved, or you've changed jobs, or you've done something differently. And it's no different. Throughout Scripture, you see Moses, you see Esther, you see Abraham, you see Paul numerous times. And what the opportunity was in each of those times, especially with Paul, is for other leaders to step up and for the kingdom to expand more and for God to use more people's gifts in the church. Because what does the New Testament call the church? it calls the church God's bride. And if it's his bride, he's going to take care of his bride. And what I want to encourage all of you to do is to look at this change the way we see God look at changes, or the people in Scripture look at changes, and it has to do with trust. There's a story about a guy named John Kavanaugh, and John Kavanaugh was a philosophy and religion professor way back. It was in the 70s and 80s, and he took a little bit of a sabbatical, and he went over to Calcutta, India, and he worked with Mother Teresa in the House of the Dying there. And Mother Teresa's famous. We all know about her. And he got there. He'd never met her before. He was able to meet her and sit down with her one morning. And she looked at him and she said, "John, what can I do for you?" And John said, "You can pray for me." And she said, "Well, what do you want me to pray?" And John just thought for a moment and he said, "I'd like for you to pray for clarity for me." And firmly, like without hesitation, she said, "I won't do that." And he looked at her and he's like, "Why not?" She said, "Clarity is the one thing you were holding on to that you need to let go of." And then he looked at her and he said, "Well, you seem to have a lot of clarity. Like, you seem to have the clarity that I'm looking for. How do I get that?" And she looked back at him and she laughed and she said, "I've never had clarity. The only thing I've ever had is trust. So I will pray for you to trust." And guys, here's what I'd say. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will" what? "He will make your path straight." And we plan our ways. But what God does with each and every one of us is he determines our steps. And if he is in charge of those things, what we have to do is we just have to trust. And so I want to ask you, I want to encourage you as a church, man, you stay committed. You stay in there and we keep trusting. Both campuses, we just keep trusting. And I would say this, number one, we all trust God. And then we know that God has our best interests in mind. But I would also say this to you, that if you trust me, if you trust me, if you trust Matt as your campus pastor at Fred, if you trust Amanda as your campus pastor here at NIWAT, if you trust the rest of our staff, here's what I want you to know. We trust our elders. And while you may not see them up here all the time, I want you to know that we trust them. And they are an incredible group of people that are leading so incredibly well and humbly and clearly through this process. And I'm telling you, Rocky is going to be just fine. It's going to be. So here's what I want us to do. Sometimes with our, in our lives, we have to declare with our mouth what we want our minds and our hearts to actually feel and know. Sometimes we got to say it out loud before we actually begin to feel it and believe it and trust in it. And so I want us at both campuses, I just want us to sing. We're just going to take a moment and sing. And the song is Trust in God. I mean, I just quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make our path straight. And so I just want to ask you right now, if we both campuses could just stand. And I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing, and then what's going to happen is at each campus, an elder is going to come up, and they're just going to share a little bit more, just to give a little more clarity for us. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. I just want to thank you for this place. And I know we're going to have another month and a half, 2 months to be together and hang out together, but Father, I just want to thank you for the last 11 years. I want to thank you for the grace that you've had on this church, the grace that you've had on my life. I want to thank you for the kindness that you've shown to my family, to my kids, my wife, myself, through this family. And I mean that. Both campuses, it's family. And Father, I just want to pray that we will trust in you in these moments and that you will bring the right person to lead and to lead forward in the next 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever it is. Father, I pray that as we've always said around this place, that the best will be yet to be. And so, God, we just want to ask that. And we just want to ask that your Holy Spirit will lead and it will guide. And Father, as we sing this song, just remind us to trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never
Moment. And if you're in the room, you can go ahead and take a seat. And in light of Sean's announcement, I just want to take a minute to introduce Tim Jenkins to you. We want you to hear from these elders that Sean is talking about. And Tim has a long history at Rocky. He's been here 24 years. So he knows this place. He loves this place. He has served two rounds. This is his second round as an elder. He cares about what happens at Rocky. So I'm going to give Tim a chance to just speak and give you guys a little insight.
Thank you, Amanda. And thank you for being here today and for talking and listening to what we do want to share as elders with all of you. Wow would be the first word. Some big news from Sean. And really that brings about, some change for all of us as well. We are excited for Sean. We're excited about what God's going to be doing with he and Jen and the Moyers family, and we know for sure, and we've always had the confidence in his passion for reaching people for Christ and for following where the Holy Spirit is leading him. So we're excited for where that's going to be taking him. And again, demonstrated time and time again in the Bible, we see that God lays out an adventure for all of us. So we know that there's an adventure for Sean and his family going forward. And we're also interested to see where that story is going to be taking us as a church body. So we have deep appreciation for them. And while this chapter is ending for them as far as how it plays out for us, it does raise some questions, and it causes us to maybe have a little uncertainty and concern about what's happening next. And that's a normal and healthy part of dealing with change, questions that come up and how we address them. Some questions may come to mind. Sean talked about a couple of those. Who's going to be preaching next Sunday? What does the process look like? What about Matt, and how does that play out? We will be posting some answers online at our Rocky.Church website under a Rocky Lead Pastor FAQ this afternoon, and we'll continue to communicate via that method. So if you've got questions, you can always go again to the Rocky.Church website to get some additional information about timing. And timing, of course, we don't know yet. Some of the questions we don't have answers to today, and we'll be continuing to pursue those, and they'll be unfolding as time goes on. And it also gives us the opportunity to grow and work on the trust and the faith that we have in God as we continue to answer those questions. And there are a couple things that, as elders, we'd like you to keep in mind as we look to change and we look at how God leads. And really, they're characteristics or aspects of God that we want to be dealing with as we look at change. The first would be looking at God's character. We know a lot about how he leads us through his very name, Yahweh, or in the English translation, I am. Now, the full meaning of his name is better captured by the idea that he's eternally present with us. He was there yesterday, he's here today in this very moment, and he's present tomorrow, even though we haven't seen it, and it's yet to come. And we can be assured that God is with us. He always has been, and he always will be. God knows the end from the beginning and has a plan for Rocky and our future, and his plan is certainly much better than anything that I've ever come up with. At least that's what I've seen in my own life. As we often say here at Rocky, we're going to try and keep first things first and trust that God is in the middle of everything. Second, we can focus on the direction and insight from God's word. Sean already talked to us about what we see in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The psalmist also said in Psalm 119, 105, God's word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. He promises that he'll light the path in front of us. Now, he doesn't say that that's going to be brightly lit. It's not going to be a paved freeway. It's not going to have clearly marked entrance and exit ramps for us. But he is going to provide a light. And as long as we're following him and looking at the next steps that he has for us, we know that we'll stay on the plan that he has in front of us. Now, the third, we can also be encouraged to seek guidance from wise counselors. King Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, instructed us in Proverbs 20:18 that plans are established by counsel. Or, as we often say in regards to another of our Rocky values, go together. Rocky's blessed with a committed and wise group of elders. Sean's words were very kind as far as the group that meets as a group of elders. But we also have a very strong lead team, a very healthy staff here at Rocky. We've got, again, Alan Algrim, our founding pastor, who's here with us. We've got a very committed and long-term group of members and attenders as well. So we'll be working with each of those groups and individuals as we seek counsel and guidance in the direction that we would have, that God would have for us. Now, we've also been in regular communication since learning of Sean's calling, and we have defined a thorough process for identifying and selecting Rocky's next lead pastor in our, according to our bylaws. You may be asking, what do the bylaws say? I've actually never read those bylaws. Well, it really says that in summary, the elders are to act as a pulpit committee, or a search committee, might be a more familiar term, to present to the Rocky family the candidate who best meets the qualifications for the lead pastor position. We're to present only one candidate at a time for consideration by the congregation, and the candidate will only be called to the lead pastor role following a two-thirds majority affirmative vote by the congregation. So you will be playing a role as we look at the right candidate for the lead pastor position. As Sean mentioned as well, James Whitler, who's the chairman of our elder board, did have the opportunity to speak with Matt Cody and ask him if he would be interested in looking at the position. And we're very excited about spending time over the next couple of weeks in an interview process and a review process with Matt to look at that, at him as a possibility for filling this next role. So the question might come up, what can you as a partner here at Rocky do? Well, first of all, I do want to ask that you help to celebrate Sean, Jen, and the Moyer family for all that they've done and how they have helped us grow and have led us over the last number of years. But I'd also ask that you be in prayer for us as a group of elders, that we have unity, as a staff and as a church body in the direction that God is taking us. And so we're excited about what God has next for us. We don't know what that is yet, but we know his plan is going to be an amazing one for us. We know he is the great I am, and he's here with us and always will be. Amanda, let me turn it back over to you. Close.
All right. So you guys have been sitting a while, so I would love for us to just stand together as a church as we kind of close this out. And I want to just reiterate a couple things. We threw a lot of information at you. Some of you are walking in, didn't know this was coming, like Sean said, and we all process differently. So we know you're going to process this information over the next couple days, even the next few minutes. So we're going to be here, reach out, ask questions if you have them. But I would say this, number one, we just want to love Sean really well. He's done an amazing job being the lead pastor of this place. And even though you might have all kinds of emotions, sad, angry, whatever that is, most of all, we're just excited for him, excited for what God is going to do through him. So let's pray for him, pray for their family. Like Tim said, as they get ready to move and make this transition, that's not easy. So that's number one thing you can do. Number two is this, be praying for Matt. We mentioned Matt, so pray for Matt, pray for his family as he processes this. If you know Matt, don't ask him a bunch of questions that he can't answer. It's a process and it's going to take a little bit. And we're going to communicate as well as we can to help you guys through that process because we're all family. You guys are part of this church, so we're in this together, all right? And the third thing is that we're going to keep being the church that we are. Our mission is to know Jesus and love like him, and that doesn't change. And so we're going to keep showing up in our community. We're going to keep showing up in this place. We're going to keep inviting people. We're going to continue in our John series. Next week, you're going to come in. Sean and Matt are going to continue to preach through that series, and we're going to push towards Easter. And so our job at this place is to continue loving Jesus, love each other well, and to show up and to invite people to Easter, because our mission is that we want to reach as many people for Jesus as possible, and that does not change. All right? So we're in this together. We love you guys. Say hey to somebody on your way out. We'll be in the lobby. You can come chat with us if you want. Have a great week. We'll see you guys next Sunday.